Everybody say, it shall be done.
It shall be done.
That's the attitude we have to have if we're going to receive everything God said we're going to receive. Because he doesn't lie. Bible tells us he's not a man that he should lie. What he says, he means. And the problem is that we don't always believe that he means what he says for a variety of reasons. And before I leave here tonight, you're going to understand that if God said it, it shall be done. Tell someone, say, it shall be done. I'm going to try and stay close to the vest as they speak, but I'm going to be me. So, look at Matthew 21. This is Matthew's version of what I call the fig tree incident. This is in the Passion Translation. And this is after the disciples came back and they saw that the fig tree was withered. And astonished, verse 20 starts out, astonished, his disciples asked, how did you make this fig tree instantly wither and die? Jesus replied, listen to the truth. Matthew 21, verse 20, 22 in the Passion Translation. Jesus replied, listen to the truth. If you have no doubt of God's power and speak out of faith's fullness, you can be the ones who speak to a tree and it will wither away. Even more than that, you could say to this mountain, be lifted up and be thrown into the sea, and it will be done. Everything you pray for with the fullness of faith, you will receive. Not some of the things, everything. Faith brings the reality of the kingdom realm into existence. You want me to say it again? Faith brings the reality of the kingdom realm into existence. Faith unlocks great authority for the believer. It unlocks great authority for the believer. Faith says, if God said it, or since God said it, it shall be done. That's what faith says. We have to develop that understanding. Because, and our understanding needs to be, since God said it, it shall be done. That's the mindset we have to have. We have to have an it shall be done because God said it mindset. And no matter what comes, no matter how it comes, your mindset doesn't change. God said it, it shall be done. When God said it, it shall be done. But how long will it take? God said it, it shall be done. And you don't let anything cause you to back up off of it. And there's one weapon that Satan uses fairly effectively to get people to back off of it. He uses fear. How many of us have ever been afraid? What were some of the things that caused the fear? You didn't just wake up one morning and say, I'm afraid. Something had to happen, and you chose fear as your defense. Why were you afraid? I mean, that's, you have to think about it. Something happened, made you afraid. Why? I was afraid of high blood pressure, and I know why I was afraid of it. I studied it. I looked at its track record. I looked at all of its victories. And if you don't know God, it can be frightening. when you read things, there are no symptoms. People just walking down the street and drop dead. Just stroke out because they had high blood pressure and didn't know it. Well, I should have known that was so already because I knew it was high. Every time my blood pressure was elevated, I knew it. You know. And then I said, then I had to think about, all right, what is it about this thing that's causing me to be afraid of it? There are two passages of Scripture, I call them very, very basics. The Bible is filled with basic Scriptures. But these two were highlighted to me. And if folks would just grab hold of these two, you could just be propelled right through to eternity. But we're not. Look at Isaiah 54. I'm going to read it in several translations. I'm going to start with the Bible in basic English. No instrument of war which is formed against you will be of any use. And every tongue which says evil against you will be judged false. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. God said, because you're my servant, no instrument of war which is formed against you will be of any use. Sickness is just an instrument of war. God said it won't be of any use. God's word translation, no weapon that has been made to be used against you will succeed. He said, you will have an answer for anyone who accuses you. This is the inheritance of the Lord's servant. So your inheritance is that anything made to be used against you will not succeed. Anything. The Good News Bible says no weapon will be able to hurt you. And you will have an answer for all who accuse you. I will defend my servants and give them victory. That's what God said. The Message Bible, God said, I create the blacksmith who fires up his forge and makes a weapon designed to kill. I also create the destroyer. But no weapon that can hurt you has ever been forged. God, the weapon that can hurt you has never been made. There right now on this earth, there is not a weapon made that can hurt you. Right now. Okay. God said, any accuser who takes you to court will be dismissed as a liar. This is what God's servants can expect. So that means a couple of things. We can expect that something's going to come against us. And we can also expect, because we're servants of God, it will not prosper. So I don't care if the Wu-Tang, Wu-Hu, carnivore, whatever they call that flu. Buy your plane ticket to China for $198. And don't be afraid, or I might catch the flu. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Period. And the Message Bible, I got to read the end of it. He said, this is what God's servants can expect. I'll see to it that everything works out for the best. That's what God says. And we're concerned about a diagnosis? God said, I'll see to it that everything works out for the best. Everything. It ends by saying this is God's decree. It's what he said. And the second one is Luke 10:19. I quote this practically every time I stand in front of folks. the Message Bible, Jesus said, "I know, I saw Satan fall, a bolt of lightning out of the sky. See what I've given you. Safe passage as you walk on snakes and scorpions and protection from every assault of the enemy. No one can put a hand on you. All the same, the great triumph is not in your authority over evil, but in God's authority over you and presence with you. Not what you do for God, but what God does for you. That's the agenda for rejoicing." The Amplified Bible says, "I've given you authority and power to trample upon serpents and scorpions and physical and mental strength and ability over all the power that the enemy possesses. And nothing shall in any way harm you." The Passion Translation says, "While you were ministering," and that's key, folks, "while you're doing what God told you to do," Jesus said, "I watched Satan topple until he fell suddenly like heaven, from heaven, like lightning to the ground." So your obedience to do what God told you to do weakens the devil. And it gets to the point where he gets so weak, he just falls. Because that's what he said. "While you were ministering, I watched Satan topple until he fell suddenly from heaven like lightning to the ground. Now you understand that I have imparted to you all my authority." Jesus said he gave us all of his authority to trample over Satan's kingdom. "You will trample upon every demon before you and overcome every power Satan possesses. Absolutely nothing will harm you as you walk in this authority." Absolutely nothing will harm you as you walk in that authority. What authority? All of Jesus' authority that he gave us to trample on anything the devil has. And all he has is sickness. This is God speaking. And since it's being spoken by God, it shall be done. And it shall be done the way God said it. Sickness is just one of the powers of the enemy. The thief's purpose, according to John 10, the thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. Sickness is just one of the weapons Satan tries to use to steal, kill, and destroy. That's all it is. Jesus said his purpose is so that we have life abundantly in all of its fullness. And he said, "No weapon formed against us shall prosper." So the question is, why don't we believe what God said? I mean, that's... why don't we believe it? We believe, it seems that we have an easier time believing what the devil said when we don't believe what God said. When God said he gave us power over anything the devil's got, we should want to believe that. But instead we believe, nah, he doesn't. The devil still has some stuff. God had Timothy tell us that God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. A sound mind doesn't believe the devil over God. So since God gave us a sound mind, that means we're more than capable of making sound decisions, sound choices. So we have to stop putting all our focus on what the devil is doing to us, or usually it's what you see him doing to other people. Folks, I don't care what anyone says. I say this with every ounce of respect on the planet. I don't care what anyone says. You don't know what someone is going through. I don't care what they told you, because they're not going to tell you everything. You don't know what they're going through. They say, I'm believing God. You don't know if they're really believing God or if they're just saying they're believing God. And I'm finding out that most folks, they're saying it because they believe this is what I should say. But again, if you say it and there's no belief behind it, you might as well not say it. Because they're too busy focusing on symptoms. They're too busy focusing on what their good buddy told them, what happened to his best friend when he had the same thing. And we think that that's going to apply to us. I had to develop an attitude. I don't care if everybody in the world dies from high blood pressure. It's not taking me out. That was the same attitude I had about prostate cancer. No, let me say it accurately. That's the same attitude I developed about prostate cancer, because as soon as I was diagnosed, it seemed like folks were dropping like flies. You pick up the newspaper, so-and-so died of prostate cancer. Whoops, so-and-so died of prostate cancer. I'm like, whoa, that's what they said I have. And I made a choice. This thing ain't killing me. Someone said, you have to die from something. No. I said to him, I said, yeah, old age sounds good. When my race is over. Don't want to be taken out of the race prematurely. So we know that God is not the one who gave us fear. It's not a good and perfect gift. So why are we accepting it? God's not afraid of anything, and we're made in his image and after his likeness. So we shouldn't be afraid of anything either. But some of us, I said too many of us, are afraid of something or someone. I wonder what would happen if a mouse ran across this room. Would I be in here preaching to empty seats? Yeah. Other folks come there and say, there's a spider in there. Yeah. And, yeah, but if it bites you, it's poisonous. First of all, don't let it bite you, number one. But number two, I have biblical proof that a poisonous thing can bite you and not kill you. Because we have dominion over every creeping thing that creeps across this earth. And spiders can be creepy. Okay. But we're afraid. We won't travel because of what's going on in the world. We're afraid we might lose our jobs. We're afraid of evil reports. We're afraid that we won't be accepted by the world. We're afraid we won't be accepted by the church. We just get afraid of stuff. And fear is really just a byproduct of intimidation. Something puffs up at, I say this all the time. If you watch the animal kingdom, you'll learn everything you need to know about the devil's qualities and characteristics. He's a fraud. He pretends to be what he's not. You have animals that their defenses, they puff up and try and make themselves bigger than they are. And the ones that don't know any better get afraid and back off. The ones that know, look at it and eat it anyway. So, yeah, you look big. Next. But that's the difference between knowing who you are and not knowing who you are. David didn't care that Goliath was 10 feet tall. He didn't care. As far as he was concerned, he was someone who did not have a covenant with God like he did. Because that's what he said. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine going to come against the armies of God? Is he crazy? You know? And why are you guys afraid of him? Can you imagine the world stepping out, train going by, and a witness, you better end service now or you're all going to jail, and see people running out of here. Oh, no, I'll be right in front with a bat. You better get back inside in service. But imitation is a means to make one or get one filled with fear. It's forcing someone to change their action by inducing fear. That's what it is. I remember my sons were, they were going to the store and, the rule was you stay on the sidewalk. What they didn't know is I was following them. I'm like, I got to know if I can trust these guys, And I saw Ulysses, my middle guy, he would run to the curb and he'd look quick and he'd put his foot out in the street and put it back on. So he could say, I walked in the street. I went around the block, came up the other way, parked behind the car. And he was walking over toward the curb, and I jumped out the car, and I made sure I hit the horn when I jumped out. And he looked up, and he saw me standing there. He jumped right back on the sidewalk. Then he just stood there crying. He didn't want to walk past me. No, I let him live. That was enough. I told him, you never know when I'm going to show up. And I better always find you doing what's right. That was intimidation. I wasn't teaching him to be obedient because I love him and he loves me. First of all, I didn't know how to do that. All I knew was intimidation. So I just let that work for me. God told us, what he said through Isaiah in Isaiah 54 kind of got lost. It gets lost. Because in essence, what he was saying was our inheritance, our possession, our portion from our God is that no instrument, no person, no stuff, no thing, nothing created, fashioned, predetermined, or planned against us will advance, progress, or succeed. Not one thing. What he was telling us in Luke, he was saying, I give you a gift that permits you to have physical and mental power, authority, influence, and privilege to trample and crush anything and everything that the devil comes with. That's what he's telling us. And if we would just understand that, he's given us the strength. So strength, one of the definitions for strength used there is the power of armies. We have the strength of all the armies anywhere on this earth. That's the strength that we have. And we're afraid of the devil. And it can't just be excited because we'll read these types of scriptures and we get so excited and then the excitement leaves and the fear comes back. Fear's like, I was just waiting for your high to go down and then here I am, just name me reality because all that other stuff sounds good, but the bottom line is I'm still here. And our attitude needs to be what God said, shall be done. Shall doesn't necessarily mean right away, but it does mean it will definitely come. When we read the scriptures and find out what God will do, there are three things that we have to do. We have to believe it. We have to receive it. What do you think the third one is? We have to act like we believe it and receive it. Acting like it is saying it. Acting like it is behaving that like it's so. If God said that you're healed, you act like you're healed. You don't talk like you're sick. You talk like you're healed. I mean, I pull up to the emergency room in the back of an ambulance. Sir, how you doing? I've never been better in my life. You're in an ambulance. Yeah, I didn't have to drive. That's what. Your blood pressure is, you know, astronomical. Yeah, and I'm here. God will tell you what to do to make it come back down. You're not going to get me to change my confession. My arm could fall off. I'll pick back up. I've never been better in my life. Here, you want a hand? That's the type of attitude we have to develop, because stuff is going to come. And Pastor Clinton, in his song, You'll Take Care of Me, he wrote lyrics in there as to what we're supposed to do. He said, I have no doubt that you'll supply my need. And on your loving kindness, I'm going to feed, and I will always offer praise to thee because I have assurance that you'll take care of me. So if you have assurance that God will take care of you, what difference does it make what you go through? God told Joshua in Joshua 1 to be strong and of good courage. Then in verse 7, he said, only be strong and very courageous. Actually, there are three times that he said, be strong and be courageous. And each time it meant something a little bit different, because courageous means to be alert, brave, you know, solid. Means to be strong, to be bold, to strengthen, to secure, to prove superior to exhibit strength. So God said to Joshua, be strong and exhibit strength. Be strong and prove you're superior. Be strong and act like you're strong and superior. That's what he was telling him. And then he told them how to accomplish it. In verse 8, he told them to meditate in the word day and night, observing to do according to all that's written. That means, folks, when you read the word, you see yourself doing it. I've heard it said throughout my Christian life, when you see you, or put your name in there. Cross out you or they, whatever, and put your name in there. You have to see yourself doing it. See yourself trampling on snakes and scorpions. You have to see yourself doing it. Folks, motivational speakers use that technique all the time. Visualize yourself standing in front of all these people. Just visualize yourself standing at the New York Philharmonic. Visualize yourself in Madison Square Garden. Visualize yourself at MetLife Stadium. Visualize yourself doing the things that you want to do. See yourself doing them. As you read it, see yourself. These signs shall follow those that believe. They shall cast out devils. See yourself. See yourselves laying hands on this. You got to see yourself doing these things. And you have to do it day and night. So God must know, as Pastor Clinton said, a little dab won't do you. You have to do it all. All. When you meditate on God's word day and night, you become of one mind and of one purpose. And you'll do exactly what the word says. And the result of that will be you'll make your way prosperous and you will have good success. You will. Joshua remembered every word God spoke. He remembered God saying, no man shall ever stand before you. So he didn't care who he faced. Because he knew it was going to happen in the future. If God said it shall be done, there is absolutely no reason to ever be anxious or doubtful or impatient. If God said so, you can wait. What was the lesson Pastor Sarah taught? Heirs can afford to wait. And if you want what God has for you, you better be prepared to wait. Just wait for it. It will come. You've waited out in the cold weather for buses that were late. You wait in airplanes because planes aren't ready. I mean, in airports because planes aren't ready. We're used to waiting. I haven't heard of anyone running on the runway trying to get take off in the air because they got tired of waiting for the airplane. You wait. Because you know if you wait, you'll get what you expect. In Luke 1, when the angel was talking to Mary, he said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High, I'm in the Amplified, I'm sorry, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you like a shining cloud. And so the holy, pure, sinless thing, offspring, which shall be born of you, will be called the Son of God. And listen, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is now the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God, nothing is ever impossible, and no word from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment. No word. So what are some of the words God's already said? Well, he said things like, with the stripes of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, you were healed. So healing is not impossible because it's from God. He said, I sent my word and healed you, delivered you from your transgressions. So not only is healing possible, deliverance is possible because God said so. And if God said so, it shall be done. He said in Matthew 18, if any two of you agree as touching anything, what will happen? It shall be done. It shall be done. Jesus said, if you abide in me and my word abide in you, you can ask what you will and it shall be done. If you abide in me and my word abide in you, if you've been meditating in my word day and night, observing to do all that's written, it shall be done. Simple. James 1, if you lack wisdom, if any of you lack wisdom, ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given. It shall be. What will be given? The wisdom you need. Like anything else, you have to do the same three things. You have to believe it, receive it, and act like you believed it and received it. You will have it. That means we will always know what we need to do because we'll always know how we should respond to any circumstance or situation because we asked God and he told us. So stop trying to figure it out on your own. I don't know what I'm going to do about this. That's because you're not God. But you have access to him. You have a relationship with him. And he has said to you, if you need to know anything, ask me. And I'll give you all the information you need. Just ask me. We don't ask him. We'll ask our doctor. We'll ask our psychiatrist. We'll ask Dr. Phil. We'll ask the pastors. We'll ask a friend. We'll do research. We'll look and see what the Mayo Clinic says about it. God said, ask me. I'll give it to you liberally. Or are we saying we don't trust that God will tell us the truth? Because if we choose not to ask him and ask something or someone else or go to another source, what we're saying by our action is we don't know if we'll get everything we need from God. So we have to go to these other sources. And then when these sources don't work, now you're making these foxhole prayers that are not filled with any faith whatsoever. It's that I blew it. I got to try something. Let me see what God might do. You know, you can go to God sincerely. God, I didn't trust you. And now I'm in a position where I have no choice but to trust you. But God, I'm in that place where I'm trusting you with all my heart because I put myself in a position where that's all I have left. At least now it's genuine. But it's still out of desperation, but I think God will pardon that as long as he knows it's sincere. You mean it. You believe it. So now there's some substance that can be attached, latched onto, where before there wasn't because you had too many other options. See, just because you have choices doesn't mean you have to consider them all. Really, if you know what God said, why do you have to listen to anything else? I mean, if you don't believe God said it, I can understand it. But if you believe you heard from God, what's there to check out? Who's the source that's going to verify what God said? Folks come to me, Pastor, God told me to do such and such. Okay, what do you think? I'm not God. I think you should go back to the one who told you if you have any other questions. Because God didn't tell me. So if he told you, then go for it. I get in the play. If he tells me to say something to someone, yeah, okay, then he'll give me whatever additional information I need. And sometimes when someone's about to really mess up big time, he may tell me or Pastor Ed something, and we'll call the person and ask them if they considered whatever it was God said. But if you tell me God told me such and such, so why are you telling, what are you asking me for? I'm not the one who told you. Well, I want to know what that means. Ask God. I don't know. Because he didn't tell me. He told you. So you have to go back to him. But you're my pastor, I know. And I'm your pastor after God's heart. And if his heart didn't see it fit to tell me anything about you, you need to go directly to him. Because apparently that's what he wants. Otherwise, he would have given me something to say to you. But this is between you and him. So it's an A and G conversation. I'm going to see myself out of it. Okay. Matthew 16, King James Version, verse 17. I think I'm good on time. Jesus said, and this is when he asked them who do men say he was, and they told him, and then he asked them the only question that mattered. He said, who do you say I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. The Amplified Bible says, and I tell you, you are Peter, Greek, Petros, a huge piece of rock. And on this rock, this Greek Petra, a huge rock like Gibraltar, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades, the power of the infernal region, shall not overpower it or be strong to its detriment or hold out against it. So again, when we believe that, when we receive it, when we act on it, our attitude will be, it shall be done. Because God said, the powers of the infernal region will not overpower or be strong to the detriment or hold out against the church. Are you the church? Yes. Then this is talking about us. The gates of hell shall not prevail against us. Why are we afraid of someone who's destined to fail every time they face us? Not most of the time. Every single time we come face to face with any part of the enemy, we've won. Every time. So why are we fearful? Why are we doubting? I found some scriptures in Proverbs, what I call a shall be done's. Proverbs 1, but whoso verse 33, but whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Proverbs 3 says, the Lord shall be thy confidence. Proverbs 4 says, the years of thy life shall be many. Proverbs 11 says, the seed of the righteous shall be delivered. Proverbs 16 says, when you commit your works unto the Lord, your thoughts shall be established. Proverbs 28 says, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Matthew 6:33 says, these things shall be added to us. And Luke 6:38 says, it shall be given again unto you. Shall be. These are absolutes. These are not maybes. A shall be is an absolute occurrence. It's going to happen. Period. You just have to wait for it. Okay. One of the reasons that we become fearful, one of the reasons that we get into unbelief is because of an unrealistic expectation. We expect that when we make a strong declaration based on the word, circumstances are going to change like that. And we certainly don't expect them to get worse. But often, that's exactly what happens. That's exactly what happens. You pray, and you go back to the doctor, and your expectation is he's going to tell you, you know, if your blood, if that number, you know, was 500 and it should be 200, you expect that it's going to be down to at least to 250 or something, and you go back to him and it's 700. And you're like, well, I don't understand. I pray. What happened? Oh, you thought because you did that one little prayer, the enemy got spooked and said, let me get a, run away from this person. Oh, no, he's going to make you prove yourself. Remember when Jesus was in the desert? And I believe it was after the second temptation, Jesus said to the devil, get thee behind me. Did the devil get behind him? No. No. When I realized that, I said, wait a minute. We've been saying, get thee behind me, Satan, expect him to jump right back behind us. He didn't do it when Jesus said it. He acted like he didn't even hear him. He just went on with another temptation. We get a diagnosis. We make this spectacular declaration saying who we believe and who we are and all of this. And the devil's like, let me turn it up a notch. And we saw it crumbling. That's what happened to those three Hebrew boys in front of the furnace. Nebuchadnezzar said, I'm giving you one more chance. I'm going to play my music, and you're going to bow. Or if you don't bow, I'm throwing you immediately into a fiery furnace, no questions asked, and who's the God that's going to deliver you out of my hands? And those three boys stood there, and they said, we don't even have to think about this. The God we serve will deliver us. I like the Message Bible. The God we serve will deliver us from your fiery furnace and anything else you might cook up. Okay. And even if he doesn't, we still won't bow down. Now, Christians will make that kind of statement and they will expect that all of a sudden the furnace breaks down. That's what we expect. We see flames in there, and the next thing we hear is Nebuchadnezzar saying, "What happened to my furnace?" We're like, "Yep, God said he would deliver." No. They said, "If you throw us in the fire, our God will deliver." They didn't say, "Our God's going to deliver us while we're standing right here." He said, "If you throw us in." Well, guess what? They got thrown in. Well, before they got thrown in, remember, intimidation is supposed to bring fear? Nebuchadnezzar had the furnace heated 7 times hotter than it should have been. These three men, they just made this big declaration in front of all these people. And what does the enemy do? Make things hotter. And it's like, now what are you going to do? I think Nebuchadnezzar probably expected them to start bowing and begging. So he could say, "I didn't play the music yet. That's okay. We'll make our own." You know, but we're not going in that furnace. So they make their declaration in faith, and things get worse. And they get, next thing they know, they're picked up, tied up, and thrown into the furnace. And I believe the Amplified Bible says the fire raged around them. It did not say the fire raged upon them. It said it raged around them. And guess what they didn't try and do? Get back out. Their protection, your protection, is in the midst of the circumstance. You said you expect God's deliverance. What's he going to deliver you from? Nothing. His deliverance comes when you're in the fire. When you're in the middle of symptoms. When you're in the middle of the symptoms. When the symptoms seem so intense. Because you expect to be delivered. You can't be delivered if nothing's going on. What's he going to do, come and deliver you from being in a healing class? No. He's going to deliver you in the time of trouble. In the time of what? Trouble. So we should expect that things are going to happen, but no matter what happens, God is going to deliver us. Notice, those three young men said, he'll deliver us from the furnace and anything else you may come up with. Because they figured, when they come out of the furnace, he's going to try something else. So he was letting them know, we don't care what you do after the furnace, the same God's going to take care of us. Same God. We have to understand those things and stop falling to pieces because we made this big, spectacular declaration of faith and it appears things got worse. Yeah, they appear to get worse. But you stand because it shall be done. Period. And you don't care what it takes. I felt sorry. I was asking God, it was last week when he shared with me what was going on with the guards. Because I'm thinking, now they were just following orders. You know, the king, who was a nut, gave him orders. And if they didn't throw those boys in, they would have been killed. God said, yeah, right, they had a choice. They could have believed me just like they did. He said, but the fire was given instructions. Do not harm those three young men. So now what's the fire going to do when they get thrown in? What's fire going to do? Move out of their way. And now this just wasn't no ordinary fire. It was seven times hotter than what this furnace was supposed to have. So the furnace couldn't contain the flames. So if they're moving out of the way, where they only have one place to go. Out the opening. Who's standing in front of the opening? The guards. But not just that they were guards. Because Nebuchadnezzar went to the opening while they were in there and nothing happened to him. The guards were going to do them harm. Nebuchadnezzar didn't run to the front to do them harm. The danger was over. It was over. God did what those boys believed he would do. He delivered them. Nebuchadnezzar said, I see four men moving around. And the fourth one looks like the Son of God. And then he said to them, come out. If they had come out of that fire prematurely, something probably would have happened to them. Because their protection was in the fire. Everyone that wanted to hurt them was outside of the fire. Outside of the furnace. They were in the furnace with their Savior. Fine. Fire's in there making sure. Don't singe them. don't do any of that. And they were examined by a lot of people when they came out of the fire. Now, how many of you have ever been to a barbecue? I know too many, right? And you've lit the coals. You've been around it before you even put the food on the grill. And you walk away from that fire, you smell like charcoal. Yep. These men were in the furnace, and there was no scent of fire on them. Nothing was even singed. We're cooking something. You have on a baggy shirt, and it gets singed. You go, whoa. They were in the fire. And nothing happened to them. Nothing. Nothing. You think about that. Nothing happened to them. Thrown in the fire. They prayed, and the circumstance got worse. The furnace got heated hotter. And they didn't say, well, we thought God would deliver us. They stood by what they said. Our God will deliver us from this furnace and anything else you might cook up. Then they had to say, O King, because they had to be respectful. So I say, O King. I understood, after reading that, I wanted something similar in the New Testament. And I started reading about Paul and his thorn. Because you know me, I'm looking at principles. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12, I'm in the Passion Translation, he said, three times I pleaded with the Lord to relieve me of this. And many of you have heard me say this. I started looking for what else did he do during that time? Did he witness to anyone? Did he minister to anyone? Did he lay hands on the sick? Did he pray for anybody? No. The only person he prayed for was himself. Sickness is designed by the devil to get us to take our eyes off of our assignment and onto our own well-being. You need to think about that. Sickness is designed to get our eyes off of our assignment and on our well-being. And finally, after the third time, God answered. He said, my grace is always more than enough for you. My power finds its full expression through your weakness. When Paul heard that, he got a revelation. He said, wait a minute, when I feel like this, God's power rises up big in me to handle things. He said, so I will celebrate my weakness, for when I'm weak, I sense more deeply the mighty power of Christ living in me. So I'm not defeated by my weakness, but delighted. For when I feel my weakness and endure mistreatment, when I'm surrounded with troubles on every side and face persecution because of my love for Christ, I am made yet stronger. Then he said something. I read this for the first time on Friday. And I mean, I'm still flying from it. It says, for my weakness becomes a portal to God's power. When I feel like I can't go on anymore, a portal opens up and God's power comes flooding in. But if I don't admit that I can't do this on my own, that I expect God to do this, that portal doesn't open. If I'm complaining, that portal doesn't open. If I'm going to someone other than God, that portal doesn't open. But God, I can't handle this. Your word says you gave me all of your authority to trample on everything the devil's got. I'm having an issue here trampling. I believe your word. Portal opens. Power comes pouring through and you start trampling. You start, I don't know what they call that dance, but folks just seem like they're just stomping their feet and kicking their legs up. I tried doing it once, almost hurt myself. You know? But that's what happens when you put your trust in God and you admit, I can't do this. I believe what your word says. But I can't do this. You said I can do all things through Christ. It's time for the through Christ part, Lord. And this portal opens up. And power comes in. I believe the fire saw that power. Just like the lions in the den saw the power. Those lions had instructions. Don't touch. Daniel is not dinner. Don't touch him. But then when the other folks got thrown in, God didn't give any instructions about those folks. But see, folks, when we don't take our place, we don't stand our ground, it affects other people. You think about that. Somebody is watching you, and you don't know who it is. But they're watching. They're hearing everything you're saying, and they're watching everything that you do. And the first time they could see you 6,851 times doing everything right, the first time they see you do something wrong, I knew it. I knew it. That's why God told me, did I bring... Yeah, I did. That's why one of the things he told me to share with you every Sunday and Wednesday and I'm going to do it. My documents. Don't bow down. First Peter, I'll just read verse 15 in 1 Peter 2 in the Passion Translation. For it is God's will for you to silence the ignorance of foolish people by doing what is right. By doing what is right, you silence the ignorance of foolish people. So it's up to each one of us to understand if God said it, it shall be done. Period. We have to understand that just because we shout out this big declaration of faith, and we mean it with everything in us, we mean it. Understand that that doesn't necessarily mean that the situation is immediately going to turn. It means that in all probability will get a little worse. Because the enemy is going to see if you really mean what you say. It's not God testing you. God allows it, just like he said, Peter, Satan has desired to sift you as wheat. And I was stunned when I realized God didn't say, but I told him no. He said, but I've prayed that your faith won't fail. So Satan has permission to try and get us to change our minds. But Jesus prayed that we wouldn't. I'm going to go with what Jesus prayed, not with what Satan wants to do. I'm over time. I apologize.